Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is episode number 16. Thank you guys for joining us, and I'm here with my good friend and faithful servant in the faith, Sasso Mendez.
Hello, hello.
What's up, Sasso?
What's going on, man? I'm glad they were staying on this two-week schedule, and I talked to, shout out Monday Victory, and she told me that she listens to the podcast, and she goes, I have you nailed down. You guys do every Sunday. I go, well, we have lately, but we switch it up. I mean, remember back in the day, we had ribs on that Sunday night, and then we recorded. That's before we were having church at night. Right. Remember that?
We need to do that again.
That was a good time. I think that's before your remodel project.
Yeah. Yeah, now that we're, you know, we got the light at the end of the tunnel. We're almost done.
Now we can eat ribs in style. You know what I mean? Because your house is all remodeled and nice.
Maybe we need to upgrade that and do a brisket.
You think brisket's an upgrade from ribs? I guess it depends, right? You like brisket better than ribs?
It's a toss-up, bro. I actually do. I do like brisket more than ribs. I like making ribs better than I make brisket, though, because I can make better ribs than I can brisket.
Is brisket harder to do?
It's not as hard, but it, I guess you could mess it up. I don't know.
Really? I don't know. I've always had good brisket. I've never had bad brisket, per se. If it's in my mouth, it's good brisket. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know. I enjoy brisket, but I like ribs, too.
I do, too.
Well, let me know. I can buy the butt of it. I don't know what. I mean, that's, say, $80.
Oh, yeah.
For a big.
Oh, yeah. Brisket, yes, $50-$60.
Don't you have to cut the fat off too? I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, you do, because the fat doesn't render. So basically, what happens is that fat is very, very dense, and so typically when you put that in the smoker, some of the fat that's not so dense, it'll render or it'll melt. In other words, but that thick stuff, it doesn't. I mean, it's just it won't.
So you have to cut it off either before or after. So they choose
before. Preferably before.
Is it harder when it's after, or it just doesn't add to the flavor?
It's just, it's pointless. You're not going to cook the meat as well.
Oh, gotcha. It takes away. It's a layer.
It's a layer.
It's like my own fat. Yeah. It doesn't render either. It still stays there.
As much as we run, it doesn't render.
I get in the sauna and it, you know, it doesn't render. I run in a hot day and it doesn't render. It's still like, dang it, it's still there.
Yeah.
I sweat a lot, but it's disappointing.
Yeah,
but any tacos?
You know what? I've been doing some homemade tacos, man. I call them poor boy tacos. Basically, I take, you know, some leftovers and make tacos.
Out of what? Like, what are your leftovers?
It could be chicken, it could be beef, whatever, whatever. Today we had so a couple nights ago, Diane made some. It's like some breaded chicken, you know, breaded chicken, some mashed potatoes, whatever. Hmm. And so we had some leftover. So I chopped it up, small little squares, throw it on the griddle, some oil, some garlic salt, you know, some little corn tortillas. And
sounds legit.
Make some tacos, man.
Well, because Monday was asking me a particular taco shop you were talking about in the episode. I didn't realize you had mentioned a particular place.
Was it the one I went to, the one with your dad?
No, this was like on this side of town, like Cactus or Olive. I said, maybe we need to get Charo's and have a guide on their website that says Ben's top 10 taco places.
Oh, well, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and then you could post it on there so people get hungry when they listen to us. They can kind of go to have a resource to go to. She's talking to me about today. Go, I have no idea. I don't remember him. I kind of know the areas of tacos he likes, but I don't know of that area.
It's like Yelp for tacos.
Ben's Yelp for tacos. Yeah. Ben and Charles. Charles be a taco guest for the first 10 minutes and then. Yeah,
Charles knows all the good taco spots, man. Well, you know what? It's interesting because the more inner city you get, that's where you find the good spots, man. I mean, the downtown, there's some good stuff down there.
Well, I was asking Tom, he's like, this is Phoenix. There's tacos everywhere. What do you mean? What taco shop? So Tom was hating on me today when I was asking him. So,
yeah, I mean, not all taco shops are the same, though.
I don't think they'd even serve Tom. You know what I mean? He looks like he's from another place of the world. He don't look like he's from Phoenix, Arizona. they would deny him.
Yeah.
No shirt, no shoes, no look like you belong here, no service.
Wow.
Sorry, Tom.
Shout out, bro. Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know if he listens or not, but yeah, if he listens, sorry, Tom. By the way, we went to, we hit our spot. We hit there once a week like we normally do, so. Thank you for lunch of the day. It was very nice.
So what do you think, man? Are we gonna attempt to do the podcast there?
I think it'd be hard. I don't know. It's up to you. Well, that's two podcasts away. It's so a month away, right?
Yeah, it's a month away because the next one is, what do we say the next one is?
Help My Unbelief.
Help My Unbelief. And that's then Friends.
And then Friends. Yeah. That's a good one.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
All right, let's see. Well, we'll see with the guy. The guy didn't swear this time. He didn't call me I didn't have to bleep him out.
No, he didn't. He
was actually kind of a little bit nicer. He brought us a gallon pitcher of tea and we finished it.
And he pretty much knew what we wanted, you know, chips and salsa. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Got the wings going, got the Philly cheesesteak, which is pretty awesome.
Salt for the chips.
So yeah, he even brought the salt for the chips.
Yep. Yep.
They should put it out. And I know they're COVID, whatever, but COVID moving. Put the salt out there. Don't be scared.
Let me salt my own stuff.
We're okay. I'm eating fat right now, so I'm more likely to have a heart attack than I am about COVID.
Right.
Please. Exactly. My third chamber is clogging up. Just bring me the salt.
For real. All right, man. Well, let's jump into the content here. This is a pretty exciting episode, I think. The reason I was excited for this is because when did we have Willie in town? Was that in January?
Yes, it was. Because we were laid off of podcast. I don't think we did one in February.
Yeah.
So we recorded a podcast late January. Right, that was his last one.
So
it was counseling, right? Spiritual counseling is why he came.
Spiritual counseling. And it was just a good week of learning. It was good stuff. And so that's why I'm excited for this one in particular. And we've entitled this one, God's Hope and Help for Change.
And that was a book he gave out to us. I think it would be beneficial if he published this book. I mean, this is a little pamphlet that we have here.
Right.
But it's powerful truth. I've given two of these out to people that I meet with some occasionally, just kind of a discipleship. So I think it's a tremendous book.
Well, and I think it's interesting because I was listening to a sermon today. And the pastor was talking about, we need to preach to ourselves sometimes. And it's interesting because even though this is counseling for someone else per se, there's times where I need to counsel myself. There's times where I need to encourage myself and the Lord it's kind of going back to the sermon, that I listened to today, but I think this is very helpful.
And Ben, just you sent me a couple of messages this week and, I sent it to my mom and dad. And one thing, just to go back to the taco talk before we go into the episode, he said to be fat is to be prosperous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the guy was fat and then he got killed by the left-hander, which was me too. So I'm like, I'm fat, left-handed. I know. I feel like that's why you sent it to me. You know,
his fat did not render, bro.
No, it did not. So yeah, you sent me two great messages and I'm glad you're listening to messages too. I think it's a help.
It is.
Those two messages were fantastic.
Well, I heard this particular pastor, I was visiting Faith Baptist College up in Ankeny, Iowa. And they had this pastor there preaching their chapel message. His name is Dr. Kurt Skelly. And he preached an amazing message out of James, just, you know, life is a vapor. What is your life? And it really had an impact. So I started kind of looking up some of his sermons. And man, I've been on a rant just listening to his preaching here in the last few days. And it's been good. So I've been sending you all those messages. I got another one I'm going to send you here.
Awesome. And I sent them out too, you know, between at work and I listen to them. Because political talk kind of gets me.
Oh yeah,
kind of ramped up. So I need something to help me and not.
I got a good one for you. I heard a good one today, man.
I'm excited. All right, man. Sorry to take away.
No, not at all. Not at all. So again, I'm excited to talk about this God's Hope and Help for Change, because a lot of times I think we have sin in our lives. Maybe whether it's a besetting sin, maybe it's just a sin that we have seasonally, so to speak. You know, we sin here today, and then maybe a year from now we hit that same sin again. But whatever the case, it's possible to have victory over sin.
Amen.
It's 100% possible. And it's just an amazing thought that God gives us. And it's going back to our last episode. God gives us grace in order to have victory over sin.
Amen.
So biblical change can happen for any believer, no matter what the sin. And that's what's so encouraging. But there's a catch. And what's the catch? The prerequisite for change is salvation. You must be a born-again Christian. You must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, victory over sin is impossible. Now, I don't say that to shame anyone, but I have been a born-again believer for 17 years now, and I can attest to this truth. And apart from salvation, I have no power to stop sinning. I am completely 100% dependent on the Lord. And so why is that? Okay, well, let's talk about this for just a little bit. So also, I think there's a couple of verses that we're gonna jump into to just talk about this a little bit.
Absolutely, thank you, Ben. So for me personally, I mean, I've probably been saved for 40 years, and so I got the justification early, but the sanctification same process. If you don't, you can't do it without God and yourself will, Amen. You can want to, you can have a desire to, you can be sick of the consequences, but if you don't do it with God's, I mean, without him, we can do nothing.
That's right.
That's, you know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, comes from the same thing. Cause without Christ, you can do nothing if you want to change it to that's a negative right. connotation. But these verses, as you spoke about, 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Yeah, and the bottom line is this. The Word of God is what changes us. However, if you're not a Christian, you can't understand the things of God. So therefore, you cannot change. Amen. And so back in, as I mentioned earlier, back in episode 14, we spoke about God's grace. So God's grace, it's a means that changes us. But we can't experience this grace unless we're born again. And it's God's grace that saves us, and it's also God's grace that changes us. Amen. So it's all about his grace. It's all about him, and he changes us. There's nothing we can do. Just like you said, we're powerless. We cannot change. And so if we go and we kind of zone in again on Titus 2:11 through 12, and again, we covered this in episode 14, but these are just important verses. So let's just go back and really quick touch on this. So Titus 2:11 through 12 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. So there's the salvation part, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So, and just like Sasso mentioned, that's the sanctification part. That's the growth. That's the Christian growth, and God's grace gives us that. So this is a quote from Willie Parton, who again, he's the one that came in to give us the training on biblical counsel. And so this is a quote from him. He said this, quote, the format for biblical change is the truth of God with the love of God, then lives will be changed for the glory of God, unquote.
Amen. I just go back to the truth of God's word, the love of God. And I think the foundational thing is the truth, because if you don't
Amen.
Believe in the truth that God loves you, you're not going to believe in the love of God.
That's right.
If you don't believe that God is able to change you as he says he is, then you won't be changed for the glory of God. And many times in our life, we get bogged down with the devil's lies, and we start to believe him that God doesn't love you. If God loved you, you would have the job you wanted, or your house would be paid off, or you would have got the wife that you wanted, or the husband, or this or that, or whatever it looks like, and we feel cheated. And so we use these substitutes of besetting sins, whether it's pornography, alcohol, lying, gossiping, whatever these sins that we struggle with, because we're miscontent with the relationship of the truth that God is all we need.
And it's so true. It's always a deeper seated, rooted issue. And these sins that you talk about, those are just the manifestations. That's just how how we medicate. That's how we deal with it. So let's kind of focus in on this, kind of what Willie said here. So what is the pattern of biblical change? And so if we look at the book of Ephesians, we'll see what this pattern is. And the pattern is this. It's the pattern for change is to put off, to renew, and to put on. So let's read Ephesians 4:17-24, and let's look for this pattern of change, which is put off, renew, and put on. It says this, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart, pride. They have become callous, and they have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you've learned Christ. And some versions of the Bible say, but you've not so learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then the question is, let's start with you know, the putting off of the old man. How do we put off the old man? Well, we must recognize why we sin. If we don't even recognize why we're sinning, then we won't even realize there's a problem. So there's a couple reasons why we sin, and Sasso's already touched on this right now. But let's talk about this a little bit. We sin by our unbelief. Okay, we choose to believe lies. And if we look at 2 Colossians 2:8, we read this. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ.
And I mean, I think now in our society, we have, we're not getting into that. Just Thinking podcast does a great job. They have a lot of followers that get in the CRT and just how the social gospel and just topics of our day, how we care about the needs of people, physical needs, but we're not caring about the spiritual needs of our people and why they're in the position they are, why these problems are happening. And it's, I mean, our nation is at unrest right now because of the lies that people choose to believe about, because the media is portraying, and back in our day when we were growing up, the media for the most part had to fact check everything to before it went out. If you did not fact check it, you were going to get fired because you can get sued. Where now truth has gone out the window.
Yep.
And if you want the truth, don't watch the news, don't listen to the news, because it's not the truth. And this is where Christians, the same way, we get sidetracked because we start believing a new gospel or a new somebody's philosophy, when God's never changed, will never change, and he's unchangeable. And that's one of the greatest attributes of God, is that his truth, the truth is always the truth, no matter what day, no matter what year it is. And that's why the Bible today is still relevant, because it's truth.
Yeah, amen. And you know, one of the things, when I first got saved back in 2006, and I'll tell you, this is testimony, and this is of the Lord, this isn't me, but one of the things I did, and I believe that it tremendously helped me, is I basically turned the TV off. Mm. I turned off the TV. We canceled. We had I don't remember if it was satellite or just regular cable. We had 100 and some channels, whatever. There was never anything on good anyway, and we turned that TV off. And you know, and it's almost like a burden off, you know, because you're not feeding yourself. You're not in tune, and you're not, you know, paying attention to every little, and because like you said, the news media outlets, they don't care about truth. They're more interested in their ratings. Why? Because ratings drive money, right? Because they're sponsorships. And so they don't really care what they're feeding you. Okay. But they cause fear. They cause panic. They cause all of these things, and people react to that. And it's terrible. It's exactly what's going on right now. Exactly. And so if we look at the book of Matthew in chapter 24, we see that even the elect will be fooled by false prophets. In fact, this sin of unbelief goes back to the Garden of Eden, when the serpent deceived Eve. She believed Satan's lie over trusting and obeying God. So our root sin is unbelief. And if we're all honest, we all have doubts of unbelief. Just think about the times in your life when you're angry or anxious or discouraged or depressed or bitter, and at some point you believed a lie. And this is why addictions and besetting sins are so hard to overcome, because they are rooted, deeply rooted in unbelief.
Amen.
And another reason why we sin is because we obey lusts. And we obey lust, and to obey lust it's basically idolatry.
Yeah, man, I'm going through, so I'm writing the devotions that sent out Monday through Friday, and I'm in Exodus right now, so I'm going through the Ten Commandments, and the idolatry, and I kind of relayed a devotional to, we think of idols as we were talking on Friday night, and I looked at idols as a little kid as these physical idols that my aunt had, and she was Catholic, and we burned them in the fire because she wanted to get rid of them. And that's how the children of Israel, and Pastor talked about today how, I don't know if it was a Sunday school class, we talked about idolatry and how the children of Israel is a constant pattern of, and that's what the message you sent me, of it's a constant pattern of repenting, sinning. Yep. And then Pastor taught us today, like in this final judgment, the children of Israel never struggled again with idolatry. It's never mentioned in the Bible. But our modern idolatry, our idols that we put up are, you know, the sins of the flesh, these besetting sins that are so hard that take a root in our heart, that we are hard to break out of. Just in James 1:14-15, James says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Thus, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And it's funny, yesterday, in speaking of these, how you sent me the Whataburger ad that they sent you, right? And they put that in there, and they just are now with, we went into an Amazon store several months ago when we were shopping, and we just looked at one thing and you got an ad for it.
Yep.
And that's what the devil does as well. He's tempting us with the things that we like. He doesn't tempt me with a salad. He doesn't tempt me with things that are not in my, you know, sinful wheelhouse. He's tempting me with my own, the things that my own, that I lust after. He knows.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, that you mentioned that. I was flipping through Instagram the other day and came across this advertisement for t-shirts. And so I clicked the advertisement, you know, just to kind of look at it, kind of peruse it a little bit. And I was like, yeah, whatever. So I clicked out of it. Well, the next day I get an email from this company and they're like, hey, we caught you looking.
Like, wow. Why?
Goodness. So, yeah. But, you know, so going back to this idol thing. So you might say, well, Ben, I don't have idols. Come on, man. Okay, well, let's do a little pop quiz here. Let me ask you one simple question. So I'm going to ask you a question, but I want you to finish the following phrase. And I want you to finish the phrase honestly. Okay, so here's the phrase. I will be satisfied if blank. Whatever you filled that blank with might be indicative of an idol. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, I said, I will be satisfied if I am wealthy. Is there anything wrong with being wealthy? No. There is something wrong about letting my love of money drive me to getting more of it by any means. Yes, money can be an idol, but that's just one example. So what about you? So here's a couple of other questions that can help you to dig deeper to uncover these idols. So here's some questions or some phrases that you can fill in the blank with and give yourself a little sort of a self-test. Okay, so here's the first one. If only I had blank. I will be satisfied if blank. I must have blank. I should be blank. Because we were born with a sin nature, so naturally we have sinful desires. However, the difference here is that a Christian has the Holy Spirit, which gives power to reject sin. Amen. This is why I couldn't help but sin before I gave my life to Christ. And now the power I have not to sin is because I have the Holy Spirit. So another quote from Willie in his lesson on biblical counsel is, happiness is bound up in that thing. And when they don't get satisfaction from that thing, sin happens. Again, referring to idolatry. Okay. So along with recognizing our sin is repenting of our sin. Now we've had a full-on episode of specifically on the topic of biblical repentance. Okay. When we come to a realization that we sin, we must repent, confess our sin, and be restored to the master. So one thing I want to point out is that godly repentance is not the same as worldly sorrow. So when you are truly heartbroken because you've offended God and you repent, that's godly repentance. When you are sorry that you got caught, well, that's just the way of the world. That's just sorry because you got caught.
I think true change too, our pastor said this many times that Freedom That Lasts Here Friday Night, that it's an addictions ministry, but it's a Bible study as well. And I'll argue to the day I die that it's everybody's addicted to something because we're all addicted to sin because we have a sin nature.
100%.
And you have people that they come because they're sick of consequences, but they're not sick of their sin. They're not heartbroken over it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. You'll change for a little bit, but until you see sin as God sees sin, you won't have change because you're not turning away from anything. You're just wanting, well, the consequences right now are not desirable, so I want to change to get rid of those, or my wife will take me back, whatever fill in the blank is. But just like you said, we have to be heartbroken because we've offended God. And that's what Joseph's standard was, right? He didn't want to offend his God.
Yeah.
He didn't care about getting caught. Maybe those were, you know, secondary motives, but primary motive and ultimate motive was, I do not want to, I would want to sin against my God. That was his, and that, if we're not like that, we're not going to change. We're not going to repent and change our mind on the besetting sins that we take part in.
Yeah, no, that's a good example. I mean, when Joseph got caught with Potiphar's wife, I mean, Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him. And what if Joseph tell her? He said, how can I do this thing against my God?
Amen.
Now first, right? And then against my master, Potiphar. Yep. But he was truly fearful of sinning against God. And that's missing in today's society. I feel like we don't have godly repentance.
There's no blushing for sin.
No.
No more.
No, it doesn't.
It's out in the open.
It's completely out in the open, 100%. Okay, so let's read 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. It says, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what earnestness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourself innocent in the matter. So again, it's just going back to this godly grief and producing repentance, a true repentance. When Paul was standing before Felix at Caesarea, he was making his plea and giving his defense. And he said this in Acts 24:16. He said, "So I always take pain to have a clear conscience toward both God, God first, and man." And in the book of Matthew, Jesus is describing the sin of adultery as lust. And Jesus then made a jaw-dropping statement for the radical removal of the sin of lust.
Yeah, in Matthew 5:27-30, the Bible says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, 'Thou shalt not commit adultery.' But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." And that is a powerful statement to say, yeah, whatever it takes to get rid of sin. And I think many instances, whether it's your internet, our phone, or just things that we struggle with, are we willing to do what God would require? And he's not telling you to do that, but he's saying to the point, if you go to hell because your eyes offended and you couldn't come to know me, then what good does it do you? So you live with eyes for 30 years, but then you spend eternity in hell. I think that's a powerful picture he's telling him. And I'm sure he was radical, but he gets the point across that sin is serious and we got to cut it off. It's cancer.
Kill sin. It's almost like the sermon we heard, kill the fat man, right?
Kill the fat man.
So just to recap a little bit here, to put off the old man is to recognize your sin and repent. So that's kind of step one, put off, right? And then we move on to step two, which is the renewing of your mind. So how do you renew your mind? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans to renew our minds. In Romans 12:1-2, it says this. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So repent means to change your mind. But in doing so, you must change from the old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. We must think like Christ.
Amen.
In fact, we read in the book of Philippians about having the mind of Christ. In
Philippians 2:5-8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And that's the mind that we got to take on, is the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of not Sasso, but Jesus Christ, because our mind take us to all kind of dark places. And I would be ashamed if somebody were to know the things, the deepest secrets of my mind, that nothing that transpired physically out of it, but the thoughts that I had towards others, towards all kind of things that are just ungodly. And that's, I think it's powerful that even he said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And that should be our goal as we wake up in the morning. Like, give me your mind, God, today as I go through my day, so that I may not sin against my flesh and that I might please you. It's a powerful truth of renewing our mind and having a mind like his.
Amen. I remember hearing a sermon one time where the pastor said, you know, it would be difficult for somebody if you were to take the thoughts of your mind and project them on screen for everybody to see. Ooh. It would be pretty pretty shameful. I'm speaking, that would be for me too.
This is what I was saying, Ben. I did that. I did a court martial case, and that guy there pulled up his Google search history, and I was like, wow. You know, that's, and so for us now, it's not even the thoughts of our mind are translated a lot of times into our Google searches.
Oh, yeah.
So, or whatever brand of Firefox, I don't know, whatever you use. But if you think about that, would God be pleased with your Do you clear your search history, or if God were able to, because he does see it, you know, would you be embarrassed if he were to come and look at your search history?
So these verses that you just read in Philippians, what do they say about the mind of Christ? Well, first of all, it's possible to have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, because it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then next, we see Jesus left the throne of heaven. He lowered himself and became human. And that was an act of humility. Well, one of his many acts of humility. James 4 talks about how God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. So we see the humility here of Jesus. And this is exactly what we should mirror. We should mirror his humility. And next we see Jesus, the God of heaven, humbled himself to serve us. It says, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. So he was a servant when he came to seek and save the lost. He Amen. Was serving. And then lastly, we see that Jesus was obedient. Okay. So this is another way we ought to be like Jesus. We should be obedient. And it says here that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we have a beautiful example here of how we should be. How does the mind of Christ work? Well, just go read Philippians 2, 5 through 8, and we should just basically mirror that in our lives.
Amen.
So to summarize, it is possible to have the mind of Christ, and our mindset should be one of humility, servanthood, and obedience. But how do we get to that point? Well, it's very simple. We read our Bibles.
Amen.
We learn about Jesus. The Bible, it documents Jesus' words and actions, and we're to mimic that. Okay, the more that we know Jesus through his word, the more we can be like him and have the mindset of Christ. But it requires us to read our Bibles, to meditate on our Bibles. And meditation isn't some Eastern religion where you sit with your legs crossed and you empty your mind.
I'd fall asleep, man. Honestly, I crash. I struggle with prayer over 5 minutes. I'll be honest with you.
Tom.
Yeah. Tom Manny. You just boom.
So now meditation is something that you already do daily. Honestly, we're all meditators, believe it or not. Okay, so let me ask you this.
That's right, amen.
At any point today, was your mind focused on a problem or maybe an issue or maybe even a fantasy? And if the answer is yes, guess what? You were meditating.
That's right.
Okay, so meditating on God's word, it simply means that we're thinking about what we read and how we can apply God's word into our lives. And that's it. That's all meditation is.
I mean, I think, Ben, what you were saying earlier too is the idols are, if we want to, that test that we would take for idolatry. Idolatry is meditation, right? It's covetousness because you think of something so much that it's constantly in your thing. And for me, I got to be careful because I have a wish list that goes on, an Amazon one and then all time. And those things can become idols too because you meditate on it and you're not meditating on that. Those things would never change my life, right? And Pastor said, it's funny how minutes into eternity or seconds into eternity, how much those things won't even matter. I won't care if the Suns won the championship. I won't care if I get a Rolex watch, whatever, fill in the blank, right? Yep. We don't care about the next tacos we'll eat. It'll be gone. But the important thing is for change to take place in our lives, we got to meditate. And I think it's meditating on the truth. Because I think you and I both have been mad at someone, and you meditate on why you're mad at them, and you just get angrier and angrier and angrier.
Bitter, yeah.
And then at the end, you say it out loud, and you're like, wow, that wasn't even that big of a deal. And that's because our meditation is, our thought process is not on what it should be. And God's word kind of cleans that out. It's a filter to get that all out of our minds.
Oh, yeah, 100%. In fact, we had, we did an episode, I think it might have been episode 2. I'm not sure.
Was Abundant Life number 1?
Psalm 1. Two, I think it was episode 2.
Planted by the rivers of water.
So now I'm gonna read that right now. Psalm 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor seats in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:148, my eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise.
And man, let's go to Joshua 1:8, and this in my mother Bible, my mom wrote in here, and this, she said this was the verse God gave her when she was praying of me. And if I were to obey this verse in my life, like she probably prayed it over me, I probably wouldn't fight a lot of problems I've had, spiritual problems due to my own sinfulness. But Joshua 1:8 says, now, this is Joshua speaking, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that's the point that you were making before, is what, the meditation. If we are to meditate, we're going to absorb to do the right things that we should do, because we're meditating on the truth of God's word.
Right.
And let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 8. Philippians 4, 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And I wrote a devotional one time, and I said we should write that out in a 3x5 card and laminate it and put it in our pocket. And when a bad thought comes, when an evil thought comes, when somebody's, we get mad at somebody, we should pull that card out and said, hey, does it line up with this scripture verse? Is it something that we should be thinking about?
Right.
Something that we should forgive and pass? Or is it something that, does it line up with the God standard of our meditation? And if it doesn't, then we probably shouldn't meditate on it, because it just brings more drama.
Well, and I think that's kind of exactly what you're saying, is what we should do is filter our thoughts with God's word.
Amen.
So basically all of Psalm 119 talks about meditating and thinking on God's word and God's law and God's precepts and God's statutes and his commandments. So let me ask you this. Where is your mind, Christian? What do you spend your time pondering and thinking about? Okay, so we've talked about putting off the old man. We've talked about renewing our mind, okay, through meditation, through scripture, through reading God's word, putting God's word in our heart. But now, how do we put on the new man? What do we do here? In the process of renewing your mind, you are essentially replacing the lies you believe with God's truth. Now, don't miss this. This is super important. When you have true godly repentance, you are changing your mind. You are subjecting yourself to God and his truth. We must believe the truth. God's truth is the only absolute truth we have. And therefore, what a comfort to know that we have God and his truth.
Amen.
That we can depend on it. It's the truth that will set you free. Amen. In fact, if we read John 8:31 through 32, it says this, Jesus is speaking. It says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'"
Amen.
Set you free from what, you ask? Well, free from sin. Let's keep reading. John 8:33 through 36 says this. "They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free?' And Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free," and that's Jesus, by the way, "you will be free indeed."
Amen. That's true. And yeah, going to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, this is Paul talking to the believers there. And this is true for us too. It says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And just to kind of go on this a little bit, I used to teach a Christian school, and there was a young man that brought me a Transformer poster, like the insignia with this verse. He loved Transformers, and he said, "I bought Mr. Sasso, I bought this for you." And I said, "Did you buy it for you or did you buy it for me?" "Oh, with the verse, the truth, I bought it for myself, but if you really want it, you can have it." I'm like, "No, you can have it. You probably need to read the verse." And it's funny, because that's Transformers is a transformation of a robot to a car, whatever. You know, I didn't get too much into that. I remembered as a little kid, the cartoons. But I think of this, of presenting our bodies to a living sacrifice, which is just our reasonable service. And this is Paul telling him, hey, this is what you need to be. You got to present yourself. And it's so hard for us as we get conformed to this world. Yeah. We're just like jello, and we get into that mode of the world, and we just conform to whatever it is the world is. And that's not what God would have us to be, because we need to prove, we need to renew our mind to believe the truth, to be what God would have us to be. Because if we don't, we believe those lies of Satan, because we get right. It's easy to get conformed in this world. You've seen good Christians that have gotten conformed over just the social issues of today and not applied that to what does God say about social issues. And that's why I love our pastor, because everything that he says is from God's word. Rebecca's telling me about an instance. She was at school, and a kid had got an extra lunch And he said, so the person got an extra lunch and they didn't pay for it? And they said, yeah, they were trying to talk about, describe it. And he goes, well, that's stealing and that's sin. And that was it, right? And it's so basic in many ways that we try to find a way to make it right or find a way to make it acceptable, and sin's never acceptable. And if we don't renew our mind, we get into that, we conform right to that, the world standard of what sin is.
That's right. And it's funny because, you know, we're reading about all of this, you know, meditation and renewing what? Your mind. Have the mind of Christ. Well, the battle of sin, it starts where? In your mind.
Amen.
Lies are believed where? In the mind.
The battlefield.
Spiritual warfare happens where? In your mind.
That's right.
And if your mind is set on the things of the flesh, then you will manifest your fleshly desires. The Bible tells us to set our minds that are on things above. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So if we are to replace the lies with the truth, what are you replacing your lies with? More lies? What are you feeding your mind? Are you feeding? Are you feeding it Facebook? Are you feeding it CNN, Fox News? Are you feeding it YouTube? Maybe you are into watching, you know, motivational speakers. In fact, some quote pastors sometimes appear to be more of motivational speakers than true pastors. What are you feeding yourself, Christian? I love this verse in Romans, and I'm going to have Sasso read this one. But this verse in Romans, it doesn't just tell us not to feed the flesh. It tells us not to even put ourselves in the position to feed the flesh.
Amen. But in Romans 13:14, it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And me personally, my mind goes to sin. Like there's things that I'm inclined to, and that's things the devil tempts me with, that if I have an opportunity or a moment of time, my mind plans it out. It's like, okay, this can fall if I do this, or this, or if I save this money or this, I can make this happen. Or maybe if I say this, you know, my boss will like me. I mean, your mind automatically just starts to make provisions for the flesh. And that's when the truth of God's where you're going to say, nope, I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to, because it's so easily we make provisions for the flesh and then we're like, oh, I fell into sin. Well, of course you did. You made provisions for the flesh. You're basically sitting in the Whataburger drive-thru and they're like, yes, can I help you? And you're like, no, I'm not going to eat water, but you're not going to say that. Yeah, I'll take a number two with cheese, spicy ketchup, extra mayo, extra onions. You know what? Water size that, please. Because we put ourselves there at the drive-thru. And many times we put ourselves in that sin drive-thru, and then we wonder why when we fall into sin, when God says, don't even go to the drive-thru. Don't even go to Whataburger. If you know it's there, go the other way around. Get away from sin.
Well, and it's interesting. The exact, you know, illustration that you just gave, it's interesting. What did it start with? It started with what? Meditation. You were thinking about it. You started thinking
the
about
the app that sent you the you thing. You started, message.
Yeah, you started thinking about it. And then and then the thoughts led to what? Putting yourself in the position. And then when you're ready to locked and loaded, you just right do it. You just go do it. Psalm 119 tells us plainly how to stop sinning. It says this, Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against
you.
It's plain and simple. Read your Bibles, people. Read your Bibles.
Right.
Putting on the new man is subjecting yourself to God's word and then the teaching of God's word. But the thing is, we can have all the Bible knowledge in the world, and it doesn't mean a thing unless we do something with that knowledge.
Amen.
I'm going to have Sasso read a quick verse out of James 1:22-25.
All right, Ben, thank you. 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And I was talking to somebody this week, just someone trying to disciple, and he has all the head knowledge, but does not change what his actions are. And he said he's living in sin right now, and he said he was witnessing to somebody because he wants it, and they're just like, bro, like, this is what you're doing. And I said, you're like this verse, you're not a hearer of the word, but you're not a doer of the word, and you're deceiving yourself. You look at yourself, and you're like, you forget who you really are.
Right.
And that's in you because God's word is, I mean, it's powerful, But if you don't live what God's called you to live, it's, you know, it's not going to, you're not going to change anything. It's just going to be knowledge and that's it. There's a lot of, I told him, this is an example I gave him. I said, it's honestly like a fat guy, a fat trainer at the gym. And there are some fat trainers there at the gym I go to. They're pretty fit, you know, and it makes you want to be like them. I said, it doesn't mean the trainer doesn't have knowledge. It doesn't mean he doesn't know what to do, but it's obviously by how he looks that he ain't doing it. And right, the same thing right. applies to us too.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with that 100%. Putting on the new man, I mean, it's basically replacing lies, but it's also accountability. And one reason I think that many of us struggle with besetting sins is because we don't talk about it. We don't share our struggles. And this is something I learned actually. I don't know if you remember, we were doing the we did that purity video series. And
the military one?
Yeah.
Like last summer, right?
Yeah, it was good. And
Last summer?
I think it was last summer. No.
Or the summer before.
Might have been before. But I think it was pre-corona. But the guy on there, the drill sergeant, he was just saying how exposing the sin is key to having victory over the sin. Because if you don't expose it, I mean, it's just kind of like you're letting the light into the darkness. And you've got to expose that sin. So exposing sin and evil is one way to defeat it. And I'm not talking about, you know, airing out all your dirty laundry, but if you're struggling with sin, get help.
Amen.
You know, when was the last time you shared a struggle with a brother or sister in the faith? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we struggle, all of us, every single one of us. I don't care if you're, you know, just a prayer warrior, a pastor. It doesn't matter. We all struggle with something.
Well, I think that in the video purity series, there was a pastor that struggled and almost lost his marriage because of it.
Yeah.
And a pastor is a title that God gives you, but a pastor is still a sinner that we struggle with. And that's why I love Freedom That Lasts. It's an opportunity for people to share things they struggle with in a safe environment. And just like I always say, you have one person you tell your whole social security number to, and you have one person, and then you tell others your last four digits. Nobody needs to know your business, but it's important that you share and you're accountable to somebody about your sin. It's important.
I think so too. And I think, I can't speak for women, but I can speak for men. It's very important for men to do this, to have that accountability, to have a friend, to have a brother in the faith that you can trust with some things, you know, sins that you're dealing with. I mean, not only for prayer, but so that you can be held accountable, so that he can check on you. Hey, how you doing this week with, you know, such and such? And I think it's very important to have that. In fact, we're going to close out with a couple of verses here, just to kind of support this idea of accountability. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one, because they have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And if though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Amen.
And if we go down to Proverbs 27, 5 through 6, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And again, it's just talking about, you know, a true friend that's going to call you out on your sin. And that is a true friend, by the way. Don't get offended if a friend rebukes you for sin. He's loving on you, believe it or not. And so receive it, and, you know, and then do what you're supposed to do. Repent, confess your sin, repent, get back into fellowship with the Lord. So again, let's just kind of review this biblical pattern for change is to put off the old man, renew your mind, and put on the new man.
That's been a pretty powerful episode, Ben. And just when he came and gave this to us, and the title of his book, that's titled the podcast, is God's Hope and Help for Change. And I think when you struggle with the besetting sin for such a long time, you feel like I can never. It's like a monetary debt that you feel overwhelmed by, but if you look at that same way, you start to pay off things and it builds up, and every day you just start depending on God instead of your flesh. And just like we've said in the previous episode, two episodes ago, is if you feed your flesh your flesh dog the most, he's going to beat your spiritual dog the most.
That's right.
But just like you said, if you're renewing your mind in Jesus Christ, in the words of God, you're having a prayer life, a walk with Him. it's harder to do things that you shouldn't do because you're walking with him. And when you don't walk with him, it's easy because he's not there and you don't feel his presence. And I heard a pastor one time say that there's nothing quite like when you fall asleep and you put your head on the pillow and there's nothing between you and the Savior.
Amen.
And you can pray to him, Amen. Thank him for another day of a day of victory that he's given you. And God, I always use the analogy of Otis, and how Otis put himself in the jail cell, and he had the keys to get out, and he would get out, but he put himself in the jail.
Yeah.
And many times as Christians, me personally as well, I go in that sinful jail, and I have the keys, I have the truth of God's word, and I just, like we said, I'm a doer of the word. I'm a hearer, not a doer. And I think if, you know, a Christian is struggling with hope and help for change, to go over these verses, meditate on them, make them part of your daily routine. And also, Ben, we have a website, abundantlife.fm, that if you would like for us to pray for you or you'd like to meet with us personally and you live here in the valley, you know, I'll make time for you, and I believe Ben will as well. And
Amen.
To see you get spiritual change and hope and God's hope and help for change. And also, we have Freedom That Lasts on Friday nights, 6:30 p.m. at our Northwest Valley Baptist Church. If you want to go to that, you can hit us up on, you know, abundantlife.fm and just, hey, what's more information and how can I get with God's people that will help me be accountable and give me hope and help for change as well.
You know, sometimes, you know, I realize we have busy lives, you know, it's hard, you know, you've got the job, you've got work, you know, you're a husband, you're a father. You've got tons of things going on. I get it because I'm the same way. I know, Sasso, you're dealing, you've got homework, you've got all kinds of things going on, and we're busy. And that's kind of why sometimes we're so late with the podcast. But all that to say is get in the word, even if it's just a little bit every day. Let me encourage you with this. Sasso has he's got a blog. It's called Stay in the Fight, stayinthefight.online. And if you go, you can subscribe to the blog. He writes on that every single day. So, well, let me say it's weekdays.
Weekdays,
yep. Yeah, Monday through Friday. And so, and it's a verse and just some thoughts on you know, kind of a biblical application, and then maybe a little challenge there at the very end. It's about a 5-minute read, and it's going to get you in the word. Let me encourage you, go subscribe to that. So it's stayinthefight.online. Subscribe, and you'll get those in your email every day. And let that be a start. Get you into Amen. The word and then grow from there, you know, spend a little bit more time in the word, maybe in the evening, you know, jump in there rather than, you know, being on Instagram Facebook yeah, or whatever. I mean, this is just a waste of time. There's Amen. No eternal value in any of those social media platforms.
But the Bible will change you.
The Bible Amen. Will change you. The Bible, you can hope in that truth. That truth is powerful. So
Amen.
Anyway, thank you all for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. That way you don't miss an episode. Again, visit us at abundantlife.fm or visit Sasso's blog at stayinthefight.online. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys. Until next time.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.